Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Faith in Christ is the non-negotiable factor that transforms people from darkness to light and changes their destinies from hell to heaven. Nothing is more important to understand, and today you'll hear a crystal clear explanation. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is concluding a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. He's speaking on knowing for sure, helping us get past the fear that people have had through the ages.
Not only must you be persuaded that Jesus is all that you need to stand in the presence of a holy God because of what he has done, but Jesus is all that you will ever need to stand in the presence of a holy God. How do you understand why Michelangelo painted those faces with so much fear? Because medieval theology taught that salvation was a cooperative effort between man and God, where you do your part and God does his, and the both of you work it out. He gives us his mercy and we give him our works and our obedience. If that were the gospel, Michelangelo should have painted those faces with even more terror, because who can know that he has done enough to merit the righteousness of God? No one, not even the Virgin Mary. My dear friend, do you now understand why people who pray prayers sometimes are not saved? You know, we say to people, you know, you need God, and they say, yes, I know I need God. You should accept Jesus as your Savior. I've had people say, sure, it can't hurt. Oh, wow. Or they think to themselves, you know, I need God's help, and if accepting Jesus as my Savior gives me God's help, I'll try it. My dear friend, if you are here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you need something more radical than just God's help. You need God's forgiveness. That's what you need. And you need your self-confidence shattered so that you come to God with nothing in your hand, but become persuaded that Jesus Christ and his death on the cross is all that you will ever need to stand in the presence of a holy God. No wonder all these decisions end up without roots and the leaves wither, and we say, where are the people who believe, and where are the children who accept Christ in Christian homes, and then we can't find them anywhere serving God. I was brought up in a Christian home. My parents, who are still living, by the way, talked to them on the phone the other day, mind just as clear as I was going to say as clear as mine, and then I backed off because that might not be a compliment. I was brought up as a little child that we had to accept Jesus as our Savior, and in those days the terminology was you ask Jesus into your heart. It isn't exactly scriptural, but it works. I mean, people have asked Jesus into their hearts and been converted. I remember age maybe, I'm guessing, 8, 9, 10. I used to pray every night, Jesus, come into my heart. Please come into my heart. And I had no sense of God's presence. I had no sense of assurance. Let me just be a little personal for a moment and tell you, you know that kids do think of crazy things. Did you know that? Maybe you didn't. Maybe I shouldn't pass my own experience off onto you. But I actually began to read the book of Revelation thinking that maybe I could never possibly be saved, and maybe I was going to play some part in Antichrist's great scheme on the earth. You know, here's a kid, 10 years old, out in the middle of Canada where it's so flat that you can stand on a can of shoe polish and look halfway into next week. And here this kid is beginning to think things like this. One day my parents, knowing the agony of my heart, said, you know, you need to accept Christ as Savior and you need to do it by faith. I said, I have tried. And then they explained the gospel again and they said, you have to understand that Jesus did it all and you have to receive him in faith. And so I got down on my knees and I received him really in faith. I said, this time I'm going to receive him in faith. And I did that at home on the farm, 10 miles or 6 miles from a little town of 50 people. You know, I want to say that I'm so glad that you don't have to go forward in a meeting to be saved, because I was so shy. People today sometimes say, you know, Pastor Luther is sometimes somewhat unfriendly. You know, it is shyness. I used to be so shy that when we had company, my sisters would grab me and have to drag me out from under the bed where I was hiding. I'm so glad that God saves people everywhere. But you know, after that time when I said, I finally will receive it in faith, knowing no matter who I am, I'm going to believe it in faith, suddenly the doubts vanished, and I knew and I was persuaded that Jesus Christ was all that I would need to stand before a holy God. And the issue was settled. You say, well, Pastor Luther, don't you think that you were saved during those days when you used to pray that Jesus would come into your heart? I've thought about that a lot, and I have to tell you in all honesty, I really don't know. There's a part of me that says, well, yes, of course Christ would have received me as a child. And maybe that's true, I just lacked assurance. But that's the point I want to underline today. Whether I was saved earlier or not, I do not know. But one thing is sure, I had no assurance. Assurance came when I said, I believe that Christ is all that I need, period. What is saving faith? Saving faith, number one, is the persuasion of the heart. God has convinced you by His Spirit. You are persuaded. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That is the root of assurance. Now let's talk about the fruit of assurance. Secondly, it is the persuasion of the heart. Secondly, it is also confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you're familiar with the text, you may just listen. It says in verse 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. It means daddy. We can call God daddy. Many of you never had a daddy that you could call daddy. God can be your daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There is now the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We belong to God's family, and soon we have that sense of belongingness. I remember the day after I accepted Christ in faith, walking into the garage of the old farm home there and saying to myself, you know, I know God. I know God. The Bible says the Spirit of God gives us that sense of belongingness. The Spirit of God begins to lead us. We are led by the Spirit, and we desire fellowship with God. Our affections are changed. I've known people who have sinned grievously after they were Christians. I've known those who have backslid and they have fallen into the depths of sin. But it's interesting that in counseling them, what I always hear is, I'm just so sorry that I did this because I really do love God. I really do love God. And when I hear that is music to my ears, because despite their sin, the fact that they love God shows that the work of God within their hearts may indeed be genuine, because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we belong to God. Mind you, we don't understand Him any better than we perhaps understood Him before. He is just as great a mystery. But suddenly, the God who is so mysterious and far away becomes present through His Spirit. And we say to ourselves, I know God and love Him. Here's what happens. The Word of God produces within us the persuasion of the heart. The Bible says that if we confess Christ as Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, because he's persuaded. But the Word of God takes the Spirit of God and creates within us the life of God. And that is the third aspect of assurance. Because the text that we read in 1 John says there is life in his Son, and suddenly we discover within us, growing within us, is the life of God. And then we begin a life of serving God. And that results in being able to love people whom we weren't able to love before, being able to forgive people. And there's a whole life of growth now. And we explained this actually in a previous message. The root is faith that has been persuaded that Christ is sufficient. The fruit is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God who connects with me that I belong to God. And the second aspect of the fruit is now the life of God begins to work itself out. The leaves begin to turn green, though they may be brown often as well. Let me say a couple of words about assurance and then a few words about doubt. First of all, about assurance. Assurance is a process of growth. There are some people who come to know Christ as Savior and they may waffle on the issue of assurance and they are genuinely saved, but as time goes by, as they begin to read the Word and as they begin to commune with God, their assurance grows. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews that we should come before God, get this now, with full assurance of faith. That implies that there are times when we come to God without full assurance. We come, but we come without full assurance.
And that's the reason why I wrote the book entitled How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God, because I want you to have the full assurance of faith, the full assurance of your salvation. This is the second to last day we're making this resource available for you. Some of the chapters in this book, The Tragedy of Misplaced Faith, Why Grace is So Amazing, The Gift We Can't Live Without, The Miracle We Need, Held in God's Hands. My friend, you've heard me say it before, but you can be wrong about many things. But don't be wrong about your eternal soul and the nature of salvation. I hope that you take advantage of this resource, and after you've read it, share it with someone else, because there are many people who have a hope-so faith, but they do not have the down-deep assurance given by the Holy Spirit of God that they belong to God and they belong to Him forever. Well, remember, as I've emphasized, this is the second to last day we're making this resource available for you. The title of the book, How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God, because we want you to be helped as you run toward the finish line. And thanks in advance for helping us financially to get this message around the world.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer is now nearing the end of his series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Next time, this series will conclude. How you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. What can be more important? Pastor Lutzer has written a book by that title, and it can be yours as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.